Thank you, Jackie. Now we'd like to open the floor for Q&A. Because of our time constraint, I would appreciate if you keep to one question and one follow-up. We welcome the first question.
Take the question in any order that you like, but I expect that a lot of the questions will be directed towards the speakers who spoke today, which is Joey Johnson, Jackie, and myself. But just as a reminder, our entire leadership team is present here. We also have people like Connie, who's our head of central planning. We've got Melissa, who heads up our tax. So we'll be happy to take your questions. So I think it might be best, Elaine, if you can pick the order of the people asking questions, and then we can answer them to the best of our ability. We have about 40 minutes, so we should have plenty of time.
The gentleman at the back, please.
Is this working? Okay. Since most of the KFC stores have been remodeled, about 80%, what would be the run rate for maintenance CapEx over, I don't know, next 5 years or so, as a percentage of total CapEx that we see in the investment part of the cash flow statement?
I don't know whether we've given that number up. I think we may have issued some directional numbers with regard to maintenance capital as a percentage of total CapEx. But I don't want to give you a wrong number off the cuff. I don't know, Jackie, whether you can help, or Joey with some information. But the essential point is that a lot of refurbishment was done over the last couple of years. To get an estate up to 80% refurbished is quite a good achievement in our industry. And I will remind you that it can never be a 100% because many leases expire with 1 or 2 years remaining, and it's no point redoing those stores. In other cases, there are technical reasons why refurbishments cannot be done. So I think we are in a pretty decent position as of now. So as regards the total CapEx, I think we've given some numbers out before, Jackie, of the total amount of CapEx on existing stores. I think was the order of about $400 million, as I recall. And approximately 25% of that or so would be towards maintenance. But I don't quote me on that. I mean, you can quote me, of course, but we'll have to verify those numbers and get back to you with exact. But the bulk of the of the total CapEx is towards new construction. So Joey, you want to add in?
Without talking about the number, maybe it's helpful to talk about our thinking behind the remodeling. Even though the state will be 80% remodeled by year end, we will and we need to continue to invest. Because with the bulk of our estate, the store actually age quite quickly. Because every year there will be some store that reach certain age that we need to reinvest. In the past, we look at 7 years as a time to reinvest. Right now, we look at 5 years because customer want the new store. Our store cannot wait for 5 years. Actually, 5 years is the total remodeling. We also have the partial remodeling. Every 3 years, we do it. So the actually, as the state grow bigger and bigger, we need to continue to do that. Otherwise, they age very quickly. Johnson talked about 3.5 years. 3.5 years after 3 years, really hard, you know, kind of go down to the path that we don't want it to see. We have a range. We have a range. So typically, full remodeling costs about 2 million plus RMB. However, we have partial remodeling as low as 500,000 or 1 million or 800,000 is a range. The way that I looked at it is the parents are quite rich. We can say that we are quite rich with a lot of cash, but each kid needs to be on his own. So how much are we going to put into each store? Well, how much can you afford each store? That drives the decision more than you know, there's a standard formula. And also there's a variety of reasons, like a busy store like Beijing. We, even though the kid can afford full remodeling, but we won't do it because the full remodeling will shut the store for 30 days. If we do partial remodeling, so we in between the holidays, the busy time, we have a little gap and we do some remodeling. Maybe 2 months later, we do another bit. So quite flexible, but the key thing is do the right thing, to give the customer best experience with minimum impact on the sales? Because the biggest cost of remodeling is not the remodeling cost. The biggest cost of remodeling is the lost sales. So we weigh against the time and the cost, and we have a flexible model to address it. But our key goal is nice stores for the customers and for the employees.
Okay, let's take the next question.
Christine.
Hi, management. I have two questions for Joey. So I guess earlier this year when you were appointed as president, you did mention 18 to 24 months of time spent for turnaround Pizza Hut. So given the time you have spent with the brand, what's the target now? Is that still on track, or can we, you know, expect it a bit sooner than the timetable? I think that's the first question for Pizza. A follow-up question is, you mentioned that the integration of delivery platforms among three brands, obviously you have Pizza Hut, KFC, and now you have Daojia. So I know right now it's a bit too early to talk about concrete details, but is there any timetable we can hope for? Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. For the first question, 18 to 24 months is still roughly the schedule. We believe that we're still on track. Obviously, you know, we set the initial target, and then when we start to go down the road, turn around, there are many new things that we are learning, and will maybe pull us back here or push us ahead a little bit more, but we believe that it's still sort of the schedule we are shooting for. If we, at the point that we learn that, okay, we need a bit more time in certain area, we certainly will communicate in the right place and right time. For your second question, so what we are doing right now is take the practical approach. What is the practical approach is between Pizza Hut casual dining and Pizza Hut home service, we are consolidating the rider operation. And we are working on the system integration because we need to make sure the system talk to each other between the two business. And this is a very intricate process, and we're doing it carefully in a solid and robust way. And then on the other side, Daojia and Shepherd, there are some, probably, there, not probably, I'm sure there will be, there are some learning that between Daojia and Shepherd in terms of rider operation that we can learn from each other and consolidate. So these are happening at the same time right now. Is there a time frame about, you know, the further integration with KFC? We don't have a time frame yet because we always push ourselves, but in this particular case, the technical capability and technical process matters. It's okay. We can do it with good pace. But right now, they are sort of happening at the same time. KFC is left alone. KFC is doing very well. You know, obviously, this is our most important business. And if at the time that we can see there's opportunity for further integration, we'll certainly think about it. But let's take the practical approach about the Pizza Hut and the Daojia and Shepherd first. Yeah. Thank you, Christine.
John? At the back.
Thanks very much. I wanted just to follow up on the pace of development. So you said 550 to 600 gross units. Is that a long-term target? Mickey, you talked about sort of the inefficiency and tax leakage of spending your money by, you know, exporting it to the U.S. So is there a goal to it, you know, accelerate that process at some point? You know, better use of cash here than saying, you know, to the tax leakage. And can you talk a little bit about kind of current trends in development? For example, are malls still a good idea in China from a development standpoint? Are rents becoming prohibitive on high streets? That's changing the way you, where you open and how you open and size the stores. If you could comment on those.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, John. I think my mic is still working.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple of things, John. One is, and this question came up during the break to me as well. The more we can spend on new store development, the more we will spend. That's our first priority. So if we could accelerate our new unit build rate, of course we will do that. The thing is, the criterion for doing that is not just a target for the sake of a number, a round number of 20,000 or 10,000 or whatever. It's based upon the returns that we are getting. Now, the world over, development tends to be a lagging indicator. So if you get strong same-store sales growth, the pipeline enriches, and vice versa. So I think on KFC, as you saw, the cash and cash payback numbers are better than what we had revealed before because the sales have been very good. And Pizza Hut, you know, is behind KFC, but it's still respectable. At the moment, I think you should look at 550 to 600 as kind of shorter-term guidance. Thereafter, it depends. You know, if we can, you know, Taco Bell is a lucky strike extra. If that happens, I think it's, at the moment, we're in no position to say how big it'll be because we've just got one store. We're building out some more now in the next couple of years, and we'll see how the response is. We could do other brands, which we could theoretically do under, you know, our new status as a public company, independent. We can do those. So I just want to reassure you that question kind of related came up to me in the break was, why are you returning capital to shareholders? You know, well, why don't you spend more on the existing business, especially because of the tax advantage? And of course, we'd love to do that. We'd love to prioritize to do that. We did a very detailed reckoning of our cash flows for the next several years and concluded that even with the most ambitious of new build targets as well as really good refurbishment programs, that the cash flow in this business was so strong that we felt comfortable initiating a dividend. And we felt very comfortable with our existing cash because we're sitting on $1.6 billion of cash, and that typically dilutes your returns because you know what the interest rates are like. So we don't want to hang on to that money. We would love to. So we've got authorization now to spend over $500 million on buyback. The dividend is relatively modest. It's 10 cents a share, so even at the current yield rate, it'll be relatively small. We've got significant dividend cover. But to your original question, John, if we can accelerate the new unit build rate in some stage, then we will definitely do that. But the criterion for that will be returns, just really very good quality returns. The other is kind of related to the first question that was asked, is that we significantly operate on leases here. We don't own property. It significantly leases. Now, going forward, that could change. It depends on how new lease laws are coming. There's new accounting standards coming on the way leases are treated. Anything is possible. But our first preference would be to use as much capital as we can in China as physically possible for productive work.
I'm sorry, just the type of formats in terms of inline stores, standalone, drive-throughs, malls, is there a change in that?
Well, you know, there are nuances. I think all channels are pretty productive right now in China. Unlike the United States, malls are still attractive because malls are very flexible here. They're moving rapidly into entertainment and to other food and other formats so that the traffic continues. I think in general in developing markets with air conditioning in the summer and everything else, malls continue to be a destination. So we are building in malls and our experience has been pretty good. I think the one that is really standing out is high traffic locations, high speed rail, for example, which is very productive for us, very good returns, as well as a rapid build out in the infrastructure. But we are, and I think as Jackie referred to, just the physical size of China's development, the tier 5, 4, 5, 6 cities will be a faster rate of growth. However, I think one of Joey's biggest contributions was turning around Shanghai and Beijing. And we're seeing newfound signs of being able to invest productively in these markets as well. But broadly speaking, we're investing across the spectrum in malls, in line, high-speed traffic locations, as you can see, in delivery very aggressively. I think long-term, probably lower-tier cities will take a greater share as we go along. Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Xiaopo Wei of Citigroup. I have two questions for Joey. I think the first question is about your plan of revitalize Pizza Hut business. You talk about initiatives. In your mind, what are those most difficult job to do, and what are the easiest part or the low-hanging fruit? And a follow-up question to that is, we are seeing that is you are integrating the home service with the casual dining for Pizza Hut. But if you're in the long term, you are seeing your basic or your foundation of your business is you have a great number of KFC loyal members. So have you thought of taking advantage of that resources to help Pizza Hut in the long run? Although I know that it is a different positioning, different business model, but what is your roadmap to that business?
Thank you. For the Pizza Hut initiative, turnaround is challenging. I don't know whether that's a really quick, obviously quick and obvious low-hanging fruit. However, we do see attractive opportunities in working day, lunch day part. That was therefore one of the first initiative we test in Shanghai. Why? Because it is about speed. It's about value. So we tested very quickly in Shanghai, 9 stores, and then we already rolled it out to Beijing and Shanghai. Our goal is to get the customers back. And that seems to be the most exciting day part. Because KFC, the breakfast business is very big, and it's a good way to build traffic. But Pizza Hut, our breakfast business is not so big. Our working day, lunch day part actually is quite sizable. So we are obviously working on it. And we give very good value. So Pizza Hut, Shanghai or Beijing, the starting point of working day lunch is only 35 yuan. You can get a main course, which could be spaghetti or pizza with a salad and a drink for 35 yuan. That's very good value. Your second question, in terms of the most difficult part, food. We have very extensive menu because it's a casual dining restaurant. And KFC, compared to KFC, KFC food is quite focused, target fried chicken, right? We're good at fried chicken. We come up with different flavors, fried chicken, and there's a such loyal group of fried chicken customers. Whereas Pizza Hut, our menu range is quite big, although pizza is the biggest one. There are more challenges to fix the more extensive menu than a shorter menu, put it that way. But we will continue to work on it with our utmost sincerity. Because I use the word sincerity a lot because I do believe food is about sincerity. I love food. It's hard not to like your friend who always gives you good food. So we will do our very best to put in the best ingredient that we can do and we can afford to our customer, to win back our customer. In terms of integration, there are things that we can leverage from KFC for sure. For the digital technology, the super app, that's a very good example. Without KFC's learning capability, success of the super app, we won't be able to come up with the Pizza Hut super app back to July so quickly. It was very, very quick launch because of KFC. So we'll continue to leverage on it. And then also, obviously, the KFC has much bigger member base, 97 million. And the liulian, the traffic flow from big to small, I don't think we need to explain it. It will be helpful, and we will use the family's help, put it that way. Thank you.
Lillian. In front, please. Thank you.
Thanks for the management, the great presentation. I have two questions. First is on the integration of Pizza Hut home service and Pizza Hut dining in. So when we evaluate the existing stores or locations, is there anything that's significant we need to kind of look at the store locations right now? Are there going to be big closure? Or are we going to see some impairment that's significant in fourth quarter next year? Second question is a follow-up question on Joey's comment on breakfast, because we noticed that during yesterday's store tour, it's quite a highlight of breakfast, even every store, so basically on the door of the store. So can management share with us about the breakfast contribution right now for both formats? Thanks.
For the integration,
First of all, let me point out that the store portfolio, Pizza Hut Home Service store portfolio, focus on two places, Beijing and Shanghai. So it's not a national phenomenon that we have to tackle. And then within Beijing and Shanghai, we also, of course, you know, given our retail background, we look at it store by store basis. It shouldn't be a surprise. And we look at the trade zone, because it's just like KFC, right? We have many stores in the trade zone, and then we look at it as a trade zone. Can we support the trade zone with our existing store portfolio? Then we'll take a decision. Your question about the impairment, we always optimize the store portfolio, whether with the integration of the two brands or not. And it's a healthy move, by the way. There's always like 3 to 5% sort of the change of the mix in any retail business. So we look at the closure, we look at the potential opportunity, whether we can serve the trade zone, and then we'll take a decision on store by store basis. Would that be a bit more than the past? Possibly. However, depending how do you look at the impairment number, because this particular 2017, we have a little bit of benefit, which is KFC's impairment number should come down a little bit. Because we have already gone through the cycle, because it's a cycle of sorting out the negative UC store, negative closed store. So KFC should have a bit saving that allow us the little opportunity to take impairment for Pizza Hut if we need to. So net year on year shouldn't be a surprise, I would say. In terms of the breakfast, the specific number, I think the finance team can get back to you guys, but what I can say is breakfast has been a highlight of growth this year, which is lovely. We don't make a lot of money from breakfast because breakfast is about value. Because your budget for breakfast is slightly different for lunch. So we don't have the same profitability for breakfast compared to lunch per se. However, it's a very good business this year for a variety of reasons. Coffee helps, but the rice roll that you guys saw, that helps massively. Because how many? So that rice roll, we end up having a lot of fun about it, but at the beginning, that was a hell of a product to do for QSR because it involves 7 steps to get the rice roll, because it's done with your hands. It's not machine made. So, you know, we have to train our staff, each restaurant, to do it properly. And we even launched competition how to be a master of doing the rice roll. So rice roll, and this is a little trick about that we learn about the breakfast. Rice roll is not a national phenomenon, isn't it? Northern part of China don't eat rice roll. They eat da bing. They eat jian, right? The roll, not rice roll, but the other roll. But when it's regional, when it's popular, it's rice, there's opportunity nationally. So even though breakfast is quite hard to introduce breakfast item because we are so loyal to whatever we are eating, but if it's something that is popular enough regionally, there's opportunity. There's opportunity to bring it to the customer nationally. So rice roll is a very good example. So we're happy. We're very happy with the growth, and we strongly believe, and we see that it built the transaction, which build a habit. In retail business, I probably talk about in many previous occasions, building a habit is so important. Once your habit is formed, I got you.
Pass to the middle to Zach, please.
Hi, thank you very much for the presentation. This is for whoever management decides would be best. But the question is about the aggregators and your strategy in terms of partnering and working with them on the delivery side. And maybe just some detail in terms of how you take your competitive advantage in other spaces onto what's much more of an egalitarian platform that's kind of just ranked in a way that I don't know how much control you have over it. And the follow-up would be, if you could give us any type of breakdown in terms of the share of your delivery, how much is coming from the aggregators and how much is coming from your own app, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Okay, I'll ask Joey and Johnson maybe to give you some color on, because they've been very actively dealing with all the aggregators. I think the our net judgment is that the aggregator business is here to stay. It's good, it's powerful. As you know, there was a recent consolidation where number two and three kind of merged and become one. So there really is now two aggregators operating in this market. We see them as as a channel that we should actively use but not get dependent upon. And I think that's been the operating philosophy. KFC was far ahead of the game because KFC always delivered the last mile themselves. So even if the orders came through the aggregator, the delivery was done by us, which gives us control. The other part I think the team deserves a lot of credit for is that we keep the data in all cases. So we are able to keep active data for all the transactions that are being done. Now there are a lot of nuances between KFC and Pizza Hut, so I'll let Joey and maybe Johnson, you could talk about the you're dealing with the aggregators.
I'll talk about the share and then Johnson can comment on the context. In the earnings call recent earnings call, we talk about the share of traffic from the aggregator is a bit different between the brands. So KFC, the share of the traffic, not the delivery, the share of the traffic from the aggregator is about 50-60%. The rest is from our own app. Whereas for Pizza Hut, could be about 70-80%. It really depends on whether we run promotion. So it has a lot of, quite a few factors impacting the numbers. So that's sort of the rough cut for the content, Johnson.
Thank you, Joy. For aggregator, right, we work together with those major players in the market for quite a long while. Even before they launch, we maintain a good relationship with them. So in KFC, we have a strong power on building our own and also distinguish between ours and aggregators. So although they have around 50% of the stack, but again, that is because of we have our own power on the pricing, on the marketing funding, as well as what product we want to select to launch in our platform or their platform. So again, we are not entirely upon the aggregator. So more we are cooperate with the aggregator to build our brand in delivery business. So we work together for a new product, new customer. So on that angle, we are quite healthy in KFC. For Pizza Hut, right, mainly it's because buy-in, it didn't have their own app. So the percentage on the aggregator are higher. But now we are building our own channels. So you can see the Pizza Hut portion for our own application will continue to increase. So that's the, I think that's the healthy percentage what we currently see. We are different from the other brands. All of our customers, no matter whether they order via our own app or via aggregators, we own the data. We own each and every of the customer data. We know what are they ordering from where. So that's easier for us to understand customer and serve our customer better. So that's the differentiate between us and the other brands. Thank you.
Before we wrap up the morning session, maybe we can have the last two questions. To the left side, please, Betty.
Thank you, management. This is Chen Luo from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. I've got two questions. First of all, I noticed just now during the presentation, management commented that we are focusing on turning around Pizza Hut, but this may create some margin pressure in the coming few quarters. And can we elaborate more on that front? Is it more because of store impairment related charges, or more because of investment in food and other part of our businesses? And the second question is on competition, because we also noticed that for some of our long-term competitor globally, they have done a pretty good job in China as well over the recent few quarters with pretty decent same-store sales growth, and they also announced to accelerate their store expansion in China. So would that have any impact on our own operation or have any impact on our own decisions such as the new store build decision? Thank you.
Well, on the second question first, obviously, just like yourself, we respect our major competitors a lot, and we hope they do really well because that helps to expand the market. At the moment, from all that we see, we don't expect that to have an impact on our announced plans or the rate at which we are going to be building stores, especially in the lower tier cities. We are in several hundred more cities than our competitors are present. But obviously, this remains an item, like I said at the start, that is subject to change. I mean, the competitors get very aggressive. We have to react accordingly. But from what we've seen right now, we've seen the same press releases that you have. When they translate into reality, we'll react appropriately, but we don't see that as an extraordinary competitive pressure. As regards the margin question, I'll let Jackie answer that on Pizza Hut so that you can have a, you know, an idea of what we were talking about. But you saw from Joey's presentation that one of the big priorities in Pizza Hut is to make the food more attractive. And you saw that we are, for example, giving larger sizes of products and not taking pricing. So the impact on the food cost for Pizza Hut is the one that is significant. And we'll see, that should have an impact eventually on the consumer franchise and the ability to get customers back, but that'll be the more immediate pressure. I think on the impairment question, Joey already answered that, that there may be some higher impairment on account of rationalization of the estate, although I wouldn't right now draw too many conclusions till we are able to announce our results. But overall, as a company, between KFC and Pizza Hut portfolio, we'll find a way to manage that. So, Jackie, any color on that?
So thank you for the question on the margin pressure. But basically, as you heard from the presentation earlier, our focus will be on revitalizing the brand through investment in products and service and also promotion. So you have seen throughout the presentation, we'll improve the size of our drinks, for example, or like for Pizza Hut, they will be the sauce of our pizza. So these are costs that will probably impact our COS. But in terms of impairment, I think we have a very rigorous impairment assessment here, and we've strictly followed the accounting standard. So we are still only 1.5 months into the quarter, so we are still assessing the whole Pizza Hut stores networking. So after we have more details on that, we will get back to you. But we don't anticipate the margins, the impairment will impact the margin that much. It will mainly come from the COS investment.
One last comment on the impairment, sort of related, but not directly related, but still very important and dear to our heart, is we are not going to lay off any staff because of store closure. Not going to do it. Because we are opening many new stores, we can absorb this staff. And these staff are very, very good to us, and we'll do everything we could to find, if we have to find them another job, we take each of them independently and we'll do our best to find them a new job within our company. So no layoff.
Thank you, Joey. So we'll take one last question and then, okay.
Jackie, if the U.S. enacted tax reform and the statutory tax rate dropped from 35 down to something lower, probably something presumably closer to China, would that change your thoughts on capital redeployment across the board, given that it would likely be a higher impact form of capital return than it is now if you didn't have that 10% withholding?
Do you have any other questions? thank you for the question. So. Well, we're still waiting for some clarity in terms of the details of that whole tax reform. But at this point, if the tax rate is below, let's say, the China corporate income tax rate, then, yeah, definitely we would like to repay. We would like to. Our priority is always to reinvest in China, to grow our core business. So if the rate is below, then we can definitely look at our whole tax structure, and that may impact our the whole cash deployment plan. But I think at this point, we don't have visibility to the details of the whole reform. But once we have more details on that, we'll definitely discuss with our board of directors, like, what's the best approach to our cash deployment.
Got it. And the second one is on kind of gross unit growth versus net unit growth. Mm-hmm. So for a couple of years, especially on the KFC side, you've had reasonably good percentage growth rates as it relates to the new unit growth. You cleaned some of the stores up in 2014, 15, and 16. You had higher net closures. This year, it's reasonably high, though, still, on the KFC side. Is there a obsolescence rate or something that we should assume? I mean, I would have thought that given the closures last year, that gap would have narrowed more significantly. I mean, you're 80% remodeled now. Should we still expect, is there some rule of thumb or some net number that we should expect that would be closed every year?
We don't. But relative to last year, we can assume we have a lower number of impairment for the store. So impairment come from closing the store or the store for whatever reason still running, which is but being impaired for some reasons. So the store closure for after we've gone through the changes will come down a little bit. But as Jackie mentioned, we really look at it on individual store basis. We don't set a target, whatever, but we have very rigid accounting rule. If it doesn't pass the test, then we impair. It's not something that we can have some room for maneuver. We don't play that game.
Are you using impairment and closure as the same word, or do you mean like an impairment, like you take a financial impairment, but you'll keep the store open?
There's very, very, very few examples. You know, there's some technical reason why we cannot close the store, but there are very, very few examples of that, but there is example. I just want to give a complete picture of that.
Yeah, but in terms of the classification, they are the same. Okay. Yeah, but for impairment, we assess that semi-annually. But closure, it happens throughout the year, then it's reflect on the same line in the income statement.
Because sometimes the closure we are forced to close, landlord need to redevelop, then it might be a profitable store we need to close. So sometimes it's not we our own decision. Therefore, the closure, we cannot say do it, you know, it's sort of an ongoing, because if it's a moving situation.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for all your questions. I'd like to wrap up the Q&A session. And I'm sure some of you didn't get a chance to ask any questions because of time constraint, but IR is always available for discussion afterwards.